Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. I am now in Jeremiah chapter 45, which I will entitle A Message for Baruch. This is a very short chapter, 5 verses, and it's also an easy chapter. And so I will read the entire chapter now as we begin, verses 1 through 5 of Jeremiah 45. This is what Jeremiah the prophet told Baruch, son of Neriah, in the 4th year of Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim ruled from 609 to 598. So the 4th year is 605 B.C. So this is what Jeremiah the prophet told Baruch, the son of Neriah, in the 4th year of Jehoiakim, 605 B.C., son of Josiah, king of Judah, after Baruch had written on a scroll the words Jeremiah was then dictating. So Jeremiah begins to speak in verse 2, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to you, Baruch." You, that's Baruch, said, this is God talking to Baruch, and God tells Baruch, "You, Baruch, said, woe to me. The Lord has added sorrow to my pain. I am worn out with groaning and find no rest." Got to blame it on God, don't we? Woe to me, the Lord has added sorrow to my pain. Verse 4, the Lord said, "Say this to him." This is what the Lord says. "I will overthrow what I have built and uproot what I have planted throughout the land. Should you then seek great things for yourself? Seek them not. For I will bring disaster on all people, declares the Lord. But wherever you go, I will let you escape with your life." Now let's talk a little bit about Baruch, Jeremiah's secretary. Baruch was of noble birth. As Albert Barnes tells us, he knows that Baruch is of noble birth by reading Jeremiah 32, verse 12. Jeremiah gave the purchase agreement to Baruch, son of Neriah, son of Maaseiah. So Baruch is the grandson of Maaseiah. Well, so what? Well, Maaseiah was the governor of Jerusalem in Josiah's time. Josiah ruled from 640 to 609. 2 Chronicles 34:8. In the 18th year of his reign, that's Josiah's reign, in order to cleanse the land of the temple, Josiah sent Shaphan, son of Azaliah, along with Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and the court historian Joah, son of Jehoahaz, to repair the temple of the Lord his God. So Maaseiah was one of the three big shots that was put in charge of repairing the temple during Josiah's reform. He was the governor, we would say the mayor, of the city of Jerusalem. And Baruch is his grandson. Baruch, son of Neriah, son of Maaseiah, Jeremiah 32, verse 12. So he was of noble birth. We also know he was a scribe because he was working for Jeremiah in that capacity. Now, I mentioned that this prophecy that Jeremiah gave to Baruch was given to Baruch in the 4th year of Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim started reigning in 609, so the 4th year is 605, a momentous year. That's when Nebuchadnezzar II took over as emperor of Babylon after he had beaten the remnants of the Assyrian army at the famous Battle of Carchemish in 605 B.C., the same year that he came down into Judah, Nebuchadnezzar did, and took Daniel off into exile. A lot of things happened in 605 B.C. Well, in that same year, Jeremiah has given a prophecy to Baruch. Now, you might recall from the previous chapters, we were all the way at the end of the history of Judah, right around 586, maybe 588 when you count the siege of Babylon. It lasted for 18 months, but just in that time period when Jerusalem is about to go down, well, that was a good 17, 18 years later. Why put this prophecy to Baruch out of time order? Well, it's because it's related to a private person. The prophecy that Baruch had written on a scroll that Jeremiah dictated to him is probably referring to the prophecy in Jeremiah 36, which I'll read to you in a little bit, parts of it. Now, that prophecy was in the same 4th year of Jehoiakim, 605 B.C. And so this prophecy naturally took place at the same time. The private prophecy to Baruch took place at the same time as the public prophecy to all of Judah. But why was not the prophecy to Baruch inserted right after chapter 36 when the public prophecy was given? Well, it's because the prophecy to Baruch was a private prophecy and thus was probably left out. And then when the last memorials of Jeremiah's life were added to the history of the fall of Jerusalem, this is Barnes speaking, Baruch attached to them this prediction, which, humbled by years and the weight of public and private calamity, he now read with very different feelings from those which filled his mind in his youth. We're going to talk about Baruch's attitude when he was young in 605. He had ambitions, but now no more. And so that's why he added this private prophecy into the scroll as he collected the prophecies of Jeremiah together to make the entire book of Jeremiah. Well, let's go back and look at the prophecy of Jeremiah that Baruch had written on a scroll. We read now in Jeremiah 36, 1 through 2 and 4 through 6, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, that's 605, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Take a scroll and write on it all the words I have spoken to you concerning Israel, Judah, and all the nations from the time I first spoke to you during Josiah's reign until today. So Jeremiah summoned Baruch, son of Neriah. At Jeremiah's dictation, Baruch wrote on a scroll all the words the Lord had spoken to Jeremiah. Then Jeremiah commanded Baruch, I am restricted. I cannot enter the temple of the Lord. So in the hearing of the people at the temple of the Lord on a day of fasting, so you must go and read from the scroll, which you wrote at my dictation, the words of the Lord in the hearing of the people at the temple of the Lord on a day of fasting. You must also read them in the hearing of all the Judeans who are coming from their cities. Now later on we read, as we go on in chapter 36, that Baruch did that, but the reading and the discovery of what Jeremiah had written happened in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, 604, which was the next year. And by the time it got to be wintertime, Kislev, King Jehoiakim, discovered what Jeremiah had dictated to Baruch and what Baruch had read to the people. Jehoiakim didn't like it because he didn't think the Babylonians were going to get him. And so Jehoiakim contemptuously burnt the scroll piece by piece, and you know the story. Now in verse 3 of our chapter 45, Baruch says, woe to me, the Lord has added sorrow to my pain. What kind of sorrows has God added to his pain? What kind of sorrows is Baruch complaining about? Well, it could be the trouble of his office as secretary to the prophet, because Jeremiah had a lot of sorrows, and so Baruch, as his employee, would also have a lot of problems. It could be he's talking about the sorrow he is experiencing because of the grievous things which were contained in the prophecies he transcribed. Because remember, Jeremiah is the weeping prophet. He's constantly prophesying gloom and doom concerning the ruin of Baruch's people and Baruch's nation. Now, a third option, which I called from one of my commentators, was that Baruch is complaining about the sorrow that he had because Jehoiakim was upset at him for burning up the roll that he had written down. And not only that, Baruch got in a lot of trouble for that and had to hide to keep Jehoiakim from finding Baruch. And then Baruch had to write it over again after Jehoiakim burned it. Well, the problem with that is the burning of the scroll was not till the next year, the fifth year of Jehoiakim in 604 B.C., and this prophecy here in chapter 45 was in 605 B.C., as I've said, the fourth year of Jehoiakim. We see in Jeremiah 36:9, in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, all the people of Jerusalem and all those coming in from Judah's cities into Jerusalem proclaimed a fast before the Lord. And then dropping down to verse 23 of chapter 36, as soon as Jehudi, he was a gopher, would read three or four columns, Jehoiakim would cut the scroll with a scribe's knife and throw the columns into the blazing fire. Well, that was the fifth year. So that can't be the sorrow that Baruch is talking about. But that's okay. He's written down a lot of prophecies of Jeremiah, and they're all the sort of prophecies that would add sorrow to his pain and that would wear Baruch out with groaning and that would keep Baruch from finding rest. So Baruch has been complaining. So God answers that complaint in verse 4. He tells Jeremiah to go tell Baruch, this is what I say. I'm going to overthrow what I built, i.e. Jerusalem, Israel, Judah. And I'm going to uproot what I have planted, Jerusalem, Judah, throughout the land. That's because the Babylonians are coming. Verse 5, God continues to tell Jeremiah to speak to Baruch. Should you then seek great things for yourself? Seek them not. Well, we see here, apparently, that Baruch was of an ambitious nature. At least Barnes deduces that from that admonition from Yahweh, seek them not. Seek not great things for yourself. Seek them not. How was Baruch ambitious? Well, he may have aspired to be a prophet because he was Jeremiah's secretary. He may have aspired to high office in Jerusalem because he was the grandson of Jerusalem's governor. And because he was a scribe, and scribes tended to be around political power. But God says, forget it, Baruch. No worldly honor for you. No religious honor for you. No riches and wealth and honor and esteem, no peace and prosperity for you. I wonder how the Copenhagenites, Joel Osteen, cash flow dollar, I wonder how they deal with that negative confession. Baruch will be blessed just to be alive. Now, what do we think about this? We have to realize that everybody's fate is determined by God. Those who follow God will have their lives laid out for them in the way that God chooses. And sometimes people end up high and sometimes they end up low. It is not our business to complain. That's a hard lesson, but it's a true lesson. We should be content with where we are. Bloom where we are planted. Now in verse 5, Yahweh, through Jeremiah, tells Baruch, or is going to tell Baruch, "For I, Yahweh, will bring disaster on all people." Now that all can't mean everybody in the world. That just shows you have to limit the meaning of all by the context. It means all people in Judah. A lot of people see that word all and they go crazy. Oh, all, it means each and every. No, it doesn't. Right here's an example. The lexicons will tell you that all sometimes can just mean a whole heap of, a bunch, but not each and every. And it also means sometimes all of every category and every kind. But here, I think it's referring to all the people of Judah, a whole lot of them. And of course, they did have a disaster. All of them did. In this case, it is each and every, but it's each and every person of Judah. Because even the ones who didn't die in the siege got carried off to Babylon. And even the ones that weren't carried off into Babylon, but who were left behind as a rump, had to live in a devastated and destroyed land. And then they got taken off to Egypt by Jonathan, son of Korea, where God promised them more disaster. Now let's look at what Baruch said in verse 3. He said, "Lord, you have added sorrow to my pain." He's blaming God, or at least he's attributing to God all of his troubles. The question I would like to ask here is, Baruch blameworthy for attributing to God all of his sorrow? Well, there's two ways you can look at it. You could say, yes, he was at fault. I mean, after all, it wasn't God's fault that God had to punish Judah. So why is Baruch complaining? But on the other hand, you could just say that Baruch was just expressing the fact that God is sovereign over all the details of Baruch's life, including the bad things that happened. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thus ends the story of Baruch. We have a nice application of that. When disaster strikes, be happy when you escape with your life. Also, we might note that when God brings his judgment, he will deliver his people in the midst of the judgment, just like he delivered Noah from the flood when God judged the whole world, just like he delivered the Jerusalem Christians in AD 70, or right before AD 70, when the Jewish Christians saw the abomination of desolation, the Roman army surround the city, then withdraw from the city, because the Roman general, for some reason, Cestius Gallus, pulled back, and they all left the city and went to Pella. And then when the city was burnt down in AD 70, the Christians weren't in the city to get burnt. They were delivered in the midst of judgment. God destroyed Egypt with the 10 plagues. He didn't destroy the Israelites. God knows how to deliver his people in the midst of judgment, and Baruch is an example. He's delivered. So, ladies and gentlemen, on that optimistic note, we are now finished Jeremiah 45, and we are prepared to go to Jeremiah 46. Jeremiah 46, we will entitle Judgment on Egypt. This begins a series of prophecies pronouncing doom and gloom on Judah's surrounding nations. I hope you stay tuned for my discussion of chapter 46, and I hope you enjoyed this audio.